In today's episode, we're going to learn about homeschooling in Alberta and AHEA, which is the Alberta Home Education Association. This interview was recorded quite a while ago, and I interviewed Shauna Sundahl when she was the executive director of AHEA. She is now no longer the executive director, but all of the information is still very relevant to homeschooling in Alberta and to AHEA. If you would like to learn more about AHEA's current leadership and what's happening there, we do have a link in the episode show notes, both on the website and on your podcasting app. Welcome to Canada Homeschools, the dose of inspiration and encouragement for Canadian homeschoolers. Canada Homeschools features interviews with homeschool group organizers, resource suppliers, and conversations with everyday homeschoolers just like you, all from a Canadian perspective. I'm your host, Rowan Atkinson. I'd like to thank you for joining me. Now let's get started.
In 400 meters.
Are we there yet?
In 100 meters.
You have reached your destination.
Well, today I have the privilege of introducing Shauna Sundahl to you. Shauna is a homeschooling mom of two. She loves people. She takes an interest in politics and enjoys reading. Currently, Shauna is the executive director of AHEA, and we're going to talk about what that means. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Rowan.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for being on our podcast. So, Shauna, you recently became the executive director of AHEA, which is the Alberta Home Education Association. For those who don't know, congratulations.
Thank you. The year's gone by really quick.
I'd like to start by talking about homeschooling in Alberta specifically, and then we can circle back to AHEA and the work that it does afterwards. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay. So tell us about homeschooling in Alberta. So here in Ontario, we often fondly look toward Albertans because homeschooling seems to be very popular there and it's a friendly place for home education. Do we have it right? Is that true?
It's true. Alberta has been a happy place for the last, while for home educators. Of course, AHEA started because of challenges that were experienced in Alberta for home education. And so the representation of the voice of parents is very important in order to keep home education alive and viable as a function and respected when it comes to interaction with the government. So I can look fondly towards Ontario and say maybe the one of the reasons that you don't know how big you are is because you don't even have to notify the government that you are home educating. And what a huge thing, a huge freedom that is for Ontario home educators to even acknowledge. You might not see as many numbers, but that's because you don't have to tell them that you're there doing it. And so, kudos to Ontario. And I know you have that because your government's never expected to get it. So for us, that's kind of hard-won freedom as opposed to you starting out with it. But, hats off to all the homeschoolers out there who are just doing what they need to do for their families and teaching their kids. So Alberta's a good place. Ontario's also, got some really great features like that in their legislation. So we love to learn from each other and to look at things that we can do to make things better.
Yeah, it's been good. I was never checked up on the entire two decades that I was home educating. So usually you're on the radar if you had your children in public education and then you pulled them out.
Right.
But if you never had them in,
you're not super likely to be checked up on. Now, when my mom was homeschooling my younger siblings, it was in a city. I think it depends on the school board, to be honest. And the school board where I live in Simcoe County is, there are so many homeschoolers, they wouldn't have time even to probably look into us. But when my mom was homeschooling in the city of Brantford, she was checked up on for a few years. And then the person who checked up on her said, I don't even need to keep checking up on you because you're doing a good job. So that was that. So it depends on the county, really, because education school boards kind of, they're the ones that determine whether the education is satisfactory at home or elsewhere. It's the school board who determines that in Ontario. So it varies from school board to school board.
You choose to notify. I guess that's a really important part, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You can send a letter of intent, and some people do. I never did because my kids were never in the system and they didn't ask. So I didn't volunteer the information.
I guess it's a really important point that people need to be aware of what the law actually requires, because anything over what is required can be used, but is not necessary, right? So I know that the Ontario law just says that as long as they're being educated elsewhere, right? People don't have to advise their school board of what their next choice is necessarily, right? And so, you know, maybe that's something that we have in common in Alberta and Ontario. If you're making a change, you know, it's not your job to advise the school. And sometimes people feel pressure or guilty or get talked out of it because they think that they have to explain or justify their reason, but they really don't. And so that's empowering as a parent when you start to look at what does it mean when you notify your child or notify the school that you're going to home educate as opposed to register them. And if that's even required at all, right? It's a very powerful thing to think about notification instead of registration.
It is just philosophically, those are two very different words.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, what is the age when children are expected to have a formal or informal education? Often that's not until they're six. So you don't, like, you certainly don't need to let the school know anything before that too. So,
yeah. I mean, as home educators, we know that education starts early, and there's definitely, you know, kind of an understanding that a formal education might start, you know, at the age of four or five. But as parents, we know that we taught them a lot by that age. And so I like to say some of us just continue on with educating our children directly. And some people, some of us choose to have other people participate in that education process or take it over altogether. Right. And so the important point is
delegation in that case.
Yeah. Yes. Parents get to decide what they feel is best for their children. And that's very important as a separate issue, parental rights. And then home education is a specific choice, and it kind of has, you know, some implications and commitments on behalf of parents if you choose to home educate.
So if someone wanted to homeschool in Alberta, what steps would they need to take, or what are the laws and rules about homeschooling in Alberta?
Well, it's kind of exciting because we had some changes just a couple of years ago that AHIA had advocated for. So I'll tell you what the laws are currently. Right now, if you decide to home educate, you have a couple of choices right off the bat. One of them is if you would like to notify directly to the government, and that means you're going to advise them that you are home educating, and because you're doing it directly, you will forfeit any home education grant money. If you decide to notify through a supervising authority, which would be an associate school board or an associate private or independent school, then the education grant would come into play. In Alberta, we get $1,700. And half of that would stay with the home education board or private school that you go with. And the other half of it would be held in trust for a family when you submit an education plan to that associate board. They would look at your receipts in light of your education plan for each child and refund you up to your half of that money.
The Canada Homeschools podcast is brought to you by Headphone History, your complete Canadian elementary history curriculum. Headphone History comes with audio lessons, stories, and legends, and a reproducible workbook designed for the whole family. Go to headphonehistory.com. It's important for us to learn our history.
So a parent could get $850, and the associate board retains that $850. They use those funds to pay for a teacher, sometimes referred to as a facilitator, but it is a teacher that they hire to come to your home twice a year to assess that learning is happening. And so we actually are the sweet spot in North America where you get to decide if you want to have funding or if you don't. And if you want to have a supervised experience through someone else or if you do not. So that's how home education is working in Alberta today.
So it's that help with the curriculum costs that I think Ontarians look fondly towards Alberta about. But at the same time, we have the question, do they get to tell you what you can and cannot teach your children if you're receiving government funds for that educational curriculum?
Well, it's a really good question. And often when you talk about home education, we have a philosophical thought process that needs to happen, don't we, before we come to a conclusion. AHEA, we have a faith-based worldview, right? We're a Christian organization, and we advocate for anybody that home educates, right? Regardless of their view, but we do it from a Christian basis. And so we believe in God-given parental rights. I never go to the government and ask them to give me parental rights. I ask them to respect them. And so when we come to the question of money, you know, it's a tough thing. You have to answer the philosophical question, like, what is the cost of influence, right? And anything that involves the government means that there's funds in exchange for some kind of usually requirement or oversight, right? And there's a healthy interest by government to ensure or to want to see that their citizens are educated, right? I guess the misconception can be that if they aren't checking, that no education is happening, right? That's a fallacy. And so AHEA traditionally has not advocated for additional funds. Some people do. Some people want to see home educators get the same amount as a public school student, but that would be ridiculous.
Education is financially inefficient.
It is. And I kind of laugh when I go around the province and I do my talks. I'm like, we get $850, like as a family, right, per kid. So I'll say, well, who's got the most kids in the room? And there's usually someone who has a larger family. And I'm like, you know how hard it is when you have to like have your education plan and then they're checking your receipts to see if it qualifies or not. And that's over $850, which is peanuts. You know, in the real world, you know, it's really not that much. If they gave you over $10,000 per child, you know, you'd probably have someone from the government sleeping on your couch watching you spend the money, right? And you can't get paid as a parent to home educate your kids, right? So there's no way we could spend the same amount as a public school student on expenses. It is very inefficiently run. And so I think that home education actually provides a wonderful model. It's not for everyone, but more people can probably afford it than they think because you eliminate other costs as well. And Ontario sets a good example there, you know, because Ontario and Alberta have the most homeschoolers in Canada, right? We are the two largest provinces. And your numbers, you know, are somewhat mysterious because everybody doesn't have to declare themselves a home educator, but you do successfully home educate without any dollars. So the argument that it's necessary in order to home educate isn't true. Would it be nice? Yes. Could you do maybe some more things or buy more books? Possibly. But there's such a wonderful community in home education of sharing resources, right? Local groups, you know, having book sales and passing on materials. There's such a wealth of vendors that have sprung up in the home education world that run businesses, right? Producing curriculum or helps or things like that. I really think that people homeschool because they really believe in the philosophy of homeschooling. And although we're seeing, you know, a big fluctuation of numbers right now, generally more people are driven by a philosophical reason to home educate. And that's not something that's deterring people on a monetary basis, right? So the money question's a bit tough, a little sticky. And, you know, we'll see what happens because I think it's something that people like to talk to government about, and they might easily say, well, sure, they'll all feel better if we give them more money. But if home education becomes flooded with people who don't understand the pedagogy, right, the reason for home education, then we actually lose what it is that everyone wants, right? It looks good, but it actually takes work and sacrifice that have a lot to do with time and involvement over a financial commitment. So it's a long answer, but I think it's something that requires a more fulsome discussion than a yes or no. And looking at the grass being greener at the other side, there's always, you know, implications too. So you don't get money, but you don't have to notify, right? We just started having that again in 2021, which is really exciting.
Well, thank you for that. And I'm not sure, I haven't looked at this study recently, but it might have been the Fraser Institute that actually pointed out how much money homeschoolers save taxpayers.
Oh yeah.
They save taxpayers way more dollars than the Albertan homeschoolers are receiving from the government. Because these children are not getting the head amount that kids get in the public school system. So it's actually saving the taxpayers' money.
It's a huge perk. And I like to, you know, point out to the government how much money home education actually saves them. They should be promoting it, really. Philosophically true version of homeschooling would be great. But there's something to be lost when something becomes fully funded by the government. That's an unavoidable truth. And we can look at other industries that have had that happen to them and see that as a lesson. And I guess one more thing I guess you could talk about here is that sometimes the government or public schools say that home education takes away from what they have. You know, if people leave the public system, it takes away from them. And the fact is that
it takes headcount dollars away from each individual school for sure. But there's a reason.
They're not entitled to the funding unless a child is at school. So what it is, it's an exercise in the free market where parents choose to go to a school or not. It's actually a healthy thing because it encourages them to raise the bar on what they provide. And I would just argue that freedom to choose is important. So we don't have to apologize. I think actually when government proposes, you know, some governments, especially more left-leaning governments, propose that everybody should be in public school, we will not fit in their system. They cannot afford to have us all. And the numbers are big, right? So in Ontario and in Alberta, if every home educator decided to go to a school, they couldn't hold us, right? So, and it would cost them a fortune. So we're really thankful that home education has become much more of a norm. I'm sure you feel that too. You started out as a home education student yourself. So have you found a normalization, Rowan? Yes.
It was not normal in the 80s when I was homeschooled, for sure. But it's quite normal now, I think.
Yeah, which is great, isn't it?
It is.
There's a lot of second generation home educators that we find now. And I think that's a wonderful thing because they're so confident that they can pass on information to their children. And it's actually people who have been taught in the public system that are often like myself, right? And not you, you were homeschooled, but you know, you wonder, can I homeschool? You know, do I have the secret, you know, gift of being able to teach something to someone? And the answer, of course, is yes, right? But
that's how does that encourage them that they were homeschooling their children from birth already?
Yes.
Something magic doesn't happen when they turn 4 or 5 or 6.
How does that get removed? How does that confidence get removed when people attend the public system?
Because everything's institutionalized and there are experts. It's actually a very modern, not even postmodern, but modern in terms of generations way of looking at things, that the doctors know everything, the teachers know everything, the lawyers know everything, the government knows everything. And it was a whole generation of people that thought like that. Yeah.
Well, thank goodness home education is kind of the revival of a belief in individual responsibility and capacity to be learning about things your whole life, really, right? You never stop learning. And that's an important criteria in someone who can grow. And homeschoolers, if you start out with that kind of perspective in life, you'll always be a lifelong learner, right?
Yes, I agree with that. And I think too, having more than one generation of homeschooling in your family, it does help give you confidence. And when I had a question or a concern, I could just ask my mom. What a privilege that was. I wasn't homeschooled for my whole time, but for some of it. And so that was a real privilege. And even having handed down curriculum from her was very helpful too. I used the same learning to read program that my mom had used with my sister. So that was kind of neat as well. But then I found out that my grandmother had homeschooled my father and taught him to read and write before he even went to school. And then I found out that my other grandmother had been homeschooled by my great grandmother when they first moved to Canada from the United States, because I guess she thought she could give a better education or whatever she thought. So I found out that it's kind of a way of life in my family, and I didn't even realize it. And then my mother was taught to read and write by her mother before she went to school as well. So it's kind of neat to find all that out kind of afterwards. So we had a lot of support for homeschooling from my family, for sure.
Yeah. That's a great story, because it helps us just remember every parent really is a teacher. They don't even think about it, but they are. And so I just find it something that we need to reclaim in language, right? We don't have to be called a teacher to be respected as one. The word parent actually is a very powerful word to use that encompasses things like being a teacher and a little doctor, right? You got to negotiate like a lawyer. I mean, what don't parents do, right? So
Canada Homeschools podcast is brought to you by Headphone History, your complete Canadian elementary history curriculum. Headphone History comes with audio lessons, stories, and legends, and a reproducible workbook designed for the whole family. Go to headphonehistory.com. It's important for us to learn our history.
So that just also reminds me, I do have an episode if listeners want to go back to it, and it's called Certified or Qualified. And I address that whole topic of how we are qualified, like what qualifies you, as opposed to having to have a teacher certification in order to be able to teach your own children. So that might be something if that is sparking some thought, you might want to go back to that episode. I'll put a link to it in the show notes when I create the show notes. Have there been any recent challenges for Albertan homeschoolers in terms of legislative issues? And if so, could you tell us how AHIA worked to help homeschoolers and to lobby on their behalf?
Recent, this whole situation that we are experiencing right now has led to opportunities for us to be constantly advocating more behind the scenes than in front, to speak a lot about parental rights and to encourage a respect for them, whether someone is a home educator or not, to talk about the importance of a parent's responsibility for their child, right? And the lifelong commitment that that is. We constantly are in communication with the government. There's always things that need to be looked at. And 2 years ago, we spent a lot of time talking and were able to obtain the notification only, no funding option that I mentioned already. Last year, I spent a lot of time focused on getting access to special needs support for That's home educators. Pardon?
That's a big one.
It is, because our legislation said if you're home educating, you get none. And I'm like, that's a very big concern, because that's discrimination based on your educational choice. And I don't think that maybe wasn't necessarily intended, but that was actually the result. And so I had a conversation recently, just again, but all of last year. And the big thing that we kind of came to realize, I'm like, we have a philosophical question, as we were saying before, right? It comes down to a philosophical position. So it came down to something that wasn't just for home educators, but all children in Alberta. And so I posed the question to the government and many, many MLAs and ministers: are special needs students and their families, as citizens of Alberta, entitled to equal access to supports regardless of their educational context? Yes or no? If it's a no, we know what we need to do. If it's a yes, let's work on that. Great. You know, we have at least a foundational understanding. We should. How do we make it happen? And so we were able to have discussion, you know, about right now, special needs access is kind of going through four different ministries in the government, which is also very inefficient and costly, you know, wanting to make sure that families have access to assessments, physical therapy or occupational therapy and speech therapy. Those are just fundamental basic ones, and people much more qualified than I should be able to talk, if we're able to get this part done, about other things and how it should work, right? I'd be happy to hand it off to those more, you know, intense discussions and more specialized discussions. But if we can get agreement on the philosophical question, it shouldn't matter if you're home educating in the public school system, in a private school, you know, a religious school. What does that have to do with the fact that your child needs speech therapy? And should we not have a clear path, you know, for a child to get it? It shouldn't matter, you know, the age. You know, if they're under 5, you can go to the doctor's office and get a referral. And after 5, somehow that magically disappears, because if you're not in school, you can't. That's just all wrong. So sometimes our work is just repeating common sense repeatedly to people to bring attention to an issue that really is up to them to address. And I've told them, you know, you are the people who have to come up with the delivery system that's going to work, because they have access to information and options I wouldn't even presume to tell them. But I would say it's their job to fix it, and I expect them to fix it, and I encourage them and will help them in any way that I can, because it really is something that shouldn't be an issue. And a lot of families do leave the public system and decide to home educate because they provide a much better educational environment for their children than they find in the public system. And so home educators have a vested, AHEA has a vested interest in not only protecting, but amplifying that voice for those families. And in doing so, I find that our voice has amplified the needs of a province of children, not just home education children. So I'm waiting to kind of see the results of that. I know that there's discussions happening, which is really encouraging. And we've got plans for this year too. There's you know, new projects on the horizon and new things that we want to address on behalf of home educators. So AHEA works very hard for home educators 24/7. That's all I can say about that.
I seem to recall that during COVID, when there were lockdowns except for educational or something of that nature, that you had to advocate that when homeschoolers are getting together with other homeschoolers or homeschool groups, that that was actually educational and should not be subject to the lockdown rules and that were only applying to social gatherings. Do I have that right? Is that something that you were working on?
Well, there was always work going on there. And there's always discussions between, you know, the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Health, right? And so, you know, I have to say that there was lots of discussion. There was some success. I wouldn't ever try to, I guess the problem is that it was a constantly changing situation, right? Like what was in effect one week changed the next. And so we had some success at some times in some situations where things were more recognized. They always had concerns about people meeting in their homes, right? And so because it wasn't in the school building, a brick and mortar building, there's lots of discussion about clarifying the fact that what we do is education, right? And so that's important, and hopefully we'll have long-term benefit, even though that couldn't be acknowledged because, you know, the Ministry of Health wasn't as interested, you know, in that kind of a discussion as the education minister. But we were able to keep some freedoms here in Alberta that were important. It's shifted again. You know, now, of course, it doesn't really matter as much if you're educating so much as other status things. And so we work hard. Sometimes we're more successful than others. Sometimes it's more seen than others, but we're definitely always in there voicing our opinion, defending home education and defending parental rights.
I am going to give you time when we get through the questions to really talk about the parental rights initiatives that you have going on. So I really look forward to hearing more details about that. I'll just ask a couple more questions about how specifically does AHEA help people who are thinking about or just getting started in homeschooling?
Oh, thank you. Well, should I explain what AHEA does? I guess what we kind of describe ourselves now as is a provincial representative body. And sometimes people go, what does that mean? So I have this little triangle example in my head. The family, the parents, and the children are the focal point of home education, right? We know that. And that's where it all starts. That's the bullseye of what home education wants to hit. And above that is support groups that are local to them, right? We all need real people that we can do real life with. Our kids need people to interact with and friends. You know, you can get together and do a science experiment or other things, right? Those are the important building blocks. First, the family, then the local support group. And AHEA is kind of over and above that on a provincial level, right? We're not there for people to call and say, hey, you know, I mean, they can ask us questions, but we're not going to say this is the curriculum you should use, right? We'll say here's a place where you can go and find information about it, right? But we don't dictate choices. And when you're interacting on a local level, you know, you have friends that can talk to you about their experience and share, you know, you can look at their curriculum and talk about it, right? So there's a totally different level of conversation that can happen at a support group level than a provincial level. So we provide representation, we provide information and support for families and support groups. That's what we do. So one of the ways that we do that is on our website, we have a tab that's called publications, and there's a ABC series of booklets that we've started to produce. Right now there's an ABCs about AHEA, which describes our organization and what we do. And then there's the ABCs of homeschooling or home educating. We like to say home educating because it's not in school, right? So we say home educating more. But the ABCs of home education lay out how education works in Alberta, the choices that the families have to make, answers questions, will my kid be weird? You know, all those kinds of things that parents kind of want to know when they're starting to look at home education.
Is that a bad thing?
Yeah. Well, isn't everyone, hey? Yeah. They're free booklets. And so if you go to our website, aheaonline.com, and you go to that tab publications, you'll be able to sign up and download that booklet and take a peek at it. And even for people who aren't in Alberta, there's probably helpful information there just about the philosophy of home education and the benefit to the family.
Great. Yes, I just have that pulled up as you're talking, and I'll put a link to AHEA website on the show notes for this episode as well. So anyone can just click on it and find the tab that we were talking about. Let's see, what else have I got there? Oh, AHEA usually has a huge convention with speakers and curriculum. And I was so excited right at just before COVID that I had booked my plane to, I was getting ready to go for the first time to bring my headphone history curriculum and books and things to the conference. But then of course it had to be canceled, and I'll have to wait for the future.
That was a heartbreaker. It was 2 weeks before the convention. Honestly, yeah. Yeah. And that was hard on everybody. You know, AHEA, all of our attendees, our exhibitors and our speakers, like it was just a hard thing. And unfortunately, you know, this is the third year that we'll be missing our convention because things still aren't settled. You know, it takes a year for us to plan a convention.
It's like so much work.
Yeah. And it's the biggest in Canada. I know Ontario, you know, props to you. You have like multiple ones, and if you put them all together, you'd be the same. We only get one a year that he has been privileged to put on. And it's a wonderful event that allows people to gather and be encouraged and to see that there's so many people who home educate. And when we had that convention last time, there was probably about 13,500, give or take, home educators in the province.
So exciting.
So that, you know, not everybody can come, right? We sell tickets and there's like capacity issues, right? But homeschooling's doubled since then and probably blown up again this year with a notification only option. People can do that anytime throughout the year. You can always home educate anytime throughout the year. But if you don't do it before September 30th, the funding becomes an issue because that's the cutoff date, right? And so then you have a little bit of a harder time finding a board who will take you because they don't get paid either, right? And so they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart, or they don't have room. So notification is a nice option, but the convention has definitely been missed. This year we're doing something else that's kind of special, and we were hoping and are hoping, planning for next year being 2023, to have a convention if we can possibly, you know, have things settle down with the government so that we can bring in, you know, a nice speaker for everybody or two or three, and have all of our vendors back. And, you know, I'm sure that we'll hit capacity before everybody gets a chance to come. So once you hear, I suggest you get a ticket right away if you want to come, because it's going to be bigger and harder to get into than ever. So it's going to be exciting.
I'll look forward to getting those emails.
We're excited to have you come back.
It will be nice. I haven't been there yet. I haven't even been to Alberta. I've flown over it on the way to British Columbia, but I've never been to Alberta. So,
oh, that was going to be your first time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Rowan.
That's okay. COVID is not your fault.
Yeah. Well, when you come, we'll be excited to see you and have you.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find helpful links and show notes for this episode at our website, CanadaHomeschools.com. Please share this podcast with your friends and leave a rating and positive review on your podcast provider. This will help others find their dose of inspiration and encouragement. Happy homeschooling, Canada! Hee hee!